This is the Blog Pirate Podcast for the week of August 5th, 2006. This is episode number one, The Pilot. Today we're going to take a look at the launch of Single Serve Espresso, and as always, we're going to recap the coolest stuff from around the pirate.
This Blog Pirate Podcast is sponsored by the Flavia Fusion Drink Station. You can sign up at our site, singleservecoffee.com, and have the chance to win a Flavia Fusion's Drink Station. You can make lattes, teas, and different coffees with Flavia Fusion.
Hello and welcome to the Blog Pirate Productions Podcast. Blog Pirate Productions is a set of weblog titles that brings you the hottest news on product and category niches from around the web. I'm Russell Miner.
I'm Jay Brewer.
And we're here to help you have a good time.
Yeah, this would be the pilot episode, so I'm sure we're going to be full of errors and approximations of what a podcast could be, but this should be fun.
Yeah, bear with us, you know. We're new at this kind of stuff. So, Jay, welcome. How you doing?
Good, good. It's been a busy week at the Blog Pirate. We just launched one of our new sites, singleserveespresso.com. And if you don't know that much about the Blog Pirate and the types of sites that we provide, we really try to focus on a particular topic, and this one happens to be espresso.
Nice. And now I know, you know, of course, the single serve coffee has been around for some time. I myself enjoy a single serve coffee machine. I'm drinking some right now.
Wow.
Delicious Kona blend. Mmm. Tasty. Now, what's the deal? Like, why the espresso site?
Well, you know, a lot of the readers at Single Serve Coffee, you know, they're not necessarily coffee drinkers, but they are interested. They're not necessarily coffee drinkers. Now, that's funny. They're not necessarily espresso drinkers,
right,
but they are interested in espresso and kept asking us to cover more and more stuff. Well, we really didn't want to, like, turn singleservecoffee.com into singleservecoffeeandespresso.com. We wanted to be able to, you know, get a dedicated writer. Scott Martin, actually, from GPS Lodge is going to be writing Single Serve Espresso. And get someone who is, you know, interested in the topic and can bring all that news in a targeted format. And that's really why we decided to launch singleserveespresso.com.
Nice. That's pretty sweet. You know, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
of course, I like espresso, so... That's how I roll.
That's right. He's got a lot of cool stuff from this week on singleserveespresso.com, homemade mocha concentrate. He's got some stuff on the new Bodum Granis machine. Actually came out last year, but it's a gem of a machine. It looks like something from
the
future.
Wow, it does. We're looking at right now at singleserveespresso.com, and it looks like, you know, some kind of machine from the future that, you know, aliens landed in. It's pretty sweet.
And they make espresso with it.
Yeah. That'd be a nice looking thing to have in my kitchen.
He's even got an oldie but a goodie, the how to make an espresso maker with a PVC and cock gun, and then also some roundups on, you know, getting the readers familiar with, you know, what is a super automatic machine that makes espresso and what are the different ways that you can make espresso that's much easier. And I think that's really going to be Scott's focus on the site, which is, here's all the different ways to do it. We're not telling you to go out and grind coffee and whatever. We're going to give you coffee pods and, you know, these different super automatic machines and then espresso capsules. So I think it's going to be a cool site.
That sounds wonderful, but you're not getting away with it that easy. Talk to me about this caulk gun using, you know, PVC pipe and a caulk gun to make espresso.
Well, basically, this is going to take you a couple of hours, and you're going to have to get some, you know, some PVC and some glue and a cock gun. And essentially, what you do is by squeezing the trigger on the cock gun, you're going to, like, actually push, you know, through the, like, a plunger kind of thing, pull a shot of espresso and pump it up.
Okay, that's cool.
It's crazy, yeah.
I would presume you mean glue that, you know, is safe to lick.
Of course. Yeah, right.
Nice.
All right.
Sweet. So tell me a little something more. I know one of the sites that we have in the Pyre is, and that's what we lovingly call it, the Pyre.
That's true.
One of the sites that we have that I really enjoy reading is Kitchen Contraptions. In case you guys haven't heard of this, Kitchen Contraptions is basically a website that's looking at different products and sort of interesting little gadgets, for lack of a better term, that fit in your kitchen. And, you know, I'm always amazed at the endless supply of things that are just cool and make sense in your kitchen. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. So what do we got? Talk to me.
Well, Maya's been busy this week at the writer at Kitchen Contraptions, and she's found a bunch of cool stuff. One is this snack and more dispenser. It's basically the ability for you to throw tons of crackers and stuff and, you know, turn the knob and give out a packaged portion.
It's like a morsel and a portion.
And, this is kind of cool. She's also got
a bunch of other... Let's talk a little more about that. Is that kind of like the thing you would find sort of at a grocery store when you're getting, you know,
but it's
bulk
for your house, so your kids or you want to not, like, you know, eat, like, the entire box. So you pour the box in and you say, like, well, I'm going to have one, you know, turn of this thing and dispense me, like, 100 calories of it or something. Some other things, that she's got going on. There's always, like, this crazy, the wall-mounted fruit holder.
Oh, what
from earlier
is that?
In the week.
Okay, so folks looking on the web who are checking this out, again, it's kitchencontraptions.com. We're looking at around August 1st, 2006. There is this crazy-looking, it looks like a piece of artwork. It's kind of fascinating, and it's sort of a white plastic that has sort of nooks and crannies built into it, and it hangs on the wall, and it looks like you put your fruit in it.
Right, and, you know, it makes, you know, seeing your fruit easier to get to, and also you can ripen fruit that way. Huh. And it also, I think it would look pretty cool in your kitchen.
It does. I mean, it's a nice art piece. Oh, wait a minute, what about bananas? I don't see room for bananas on there.
I think there's a banana nook right down
there.
Oh,
look at that, bottom left-hand corner. All right, that could work. Let's take a moment and shift gears for a second. Let's talk a little bit. I'd like to know a little bit more about Jay Brewer. You are the founder of Blog Prior Productions, and you know, how did this whole thing come about?
A couple years ago, actually, we started the whole thing with singleservecoffee.com. I had been reading sites like the PVR blog, which was one of the first sites that was about...
PVR?
Well, products, you know, instead of being about, like, how I feel and going to the movies and this is what I did today. And I was like, wow, you know, this is a great format to just post about different news and whatever. And I said, you know, if there comes a category or something that I'm interested in, maybe I'd like to write this and try it out. So, you know, I went out. I had read in Wired magazine that these single-serve coffee makers were coming to the U.S. They were available at Kitchen Etc. They came out in May of 2004.
Sure.
I went and bought one and then I wrote a review about the Senseo coffee maker. And then started writing coffee pod reviews and news, and just, you know, more of these machines came out, and then we started to add other sites, Kitchen Contraptions, justthechips.com, which is poker chips, and then Russell Neufeld actually was one of the first, he is the first guy who was a friend of mine and decided that he wanted to do a site.
Oh, I see. So you were doing the other ones before.
I was doing the other
yourself.
Ones before and whatever. And, you know, slowly, the only one I'm really, only one I write on now is Single Serve Coffee. We've got like 15 sites.
Wow. It's quite a
little
franchise.
On that. But Russell does shavingstuff.com and has a lot of cool stuff there.
Well, let's go take a look. All right. So you mentioned Russell Neufeld. You mentioned shaving stuff. Talk to me about shaving stuff. What's going on in the world of shaving?
Well, you know, Russell covers all kinds of different crazy razors and shaving products and
what
creams.
Is with all the crazy razors? I'm just saying. Maybe the 50...
The Hydra razor, you know, the 50-headed razor.
Are any gas-powered at this point?
I think at one point Russ even covered, like, a 30-blade razor that was kind of a joke, like, slash... slightly real, or he did it for April Fools, and then we started getting emails like, is this real? And we're like, no, it's just April Fools. But actually, one of the coolest things that Russ does, and some of the other sites around the blog prior do as well, is they do a Friday kind of thing, a Friday story that you can expect every Friday. And Russ does Celebrity Facial Hair Friday.
Nice. All right, so, I can imagine how this is going to go.
So he profiles a variety of different, celebrities, of which this week is Colin Farrell. Miami Vice just came out, the movie.
Sure.
And basically he's comparing the facial hair of, you know, old Don Johnson facial hair the facial hair that we got in the new Miami Vice movie.
Nice.
And
let's take a look. Again, this is at, for those of you checking out along, it's shavingstuff.com, and it should be August 4th, 2006, Celebrity Facial Hair.
Yeah, and, you know, I've heard of, I think, you know, Don Johnson looked rugged, and he had nice, you know, smooth evenness, you know.
He does. I can see it. It's kind of, you know, I mean, I don't mind saying it's kind of attractive.
Colin Farrell just kind of looks dirty, you know?
Yeah, he reminds me of Hulk Hogan a little bit, you know, except, you know, a lot more hair up top anyway.
And Russ basically says, you know, Farrell's Crockett, you know, has the mustache, the soul patch, the beginnings of some mutton chops. His 5 o'clock shadow looks like a mess. How does he maintain that thing? You know, he's like, I don't want to know. So call me old-fashioned, but I croon for the rugged, simplistic look of the 80s. And it basically, at the end of every facial hair Friday, he says whether or not to keep the facial hair or to remove it.
Okay.
So, like, say, for instance, like another facial hair, Damian Rice, right? He's got some crazy, like, you know, mustache. Or, like, Kevin Smith, Silent Bob and Dante, like, you know, all kinds of different ones. He says shave it or lose it at the end.
All right.
And in this one, he's like, shave it. Get rid of that stuff, Colin Farrell.
Well, Colin Farrell does look a little bit dirty right there, so I can see why. The ladies might not be so into that.
Yeah, so if you want to check out something fun each Friday, Celebrity Facial Hair Friday on shavingstuff.com.
Sweet. What else we got going on in the pyre?
You know, one of the sites we launched last year was shirtsnob.com, and Laura is the editor of it, and I can't tell you how many things that she finds at this for Shirt Snob, from T-shirts to blouses to handbags, and we should have Laura on coming up soon.
Oh, yeah,
you know, get her to talk about, you know, all the places that she finds these crazy shirts. She does stuff each week. There's this really cool site called Threadless where she features all kinds of different new shirts that people design for them. She also has like things like, hey, long sleeve military sweater from Banana Republic, and you know, that's cool, I guess, you know, like,
sure,
you know,
if you're into shirts, I guess,
right,
this is where you go.
You really do. And she just,
ooh, I like that one. What is that?
That's actually
T-tonic.
From T-tonic.
So
Laura,
that's sorry for those of you missing who can't see. I can't scroll the browser.
Yeah.
Scroll the browser for me. I can't.
What do you need?
I can't work a laptop. No, go up.
Go up what?
Yeah. What's the date on this?
Oh, it just happened last week, July 31st.
Oh, July 31st.
It's on
there
the
go.
Main page.
There you go. Review of T-tonic. It's an interesting looking thing. I kind of like it. It's like little owl kind of perched on a, I don't know.
T-tonic has a whole bunch of really kind of simple designs, and I'm actually going to do a review that Laura got a shirt for me from T-tonic, so
I can
do a review.
What's it what's on it?
It's these crazy breakdancer guy who like goes through a whole breakdancing move all the way down the shirt, and on the back he has actually a broken arm. Kind of funny. And this T-tonic that she did a review of is actually of a this crazy like night owl. It almost looks like a superhero logo on a T-shirt. But she finds all the coolest T-shirts, shirts, whatever at shirtsnob.com. And we really appreciate all the people who send in stuff for us to review, you know, because I need something to wear on my back.
Okay, next up in the pyre, I'm going to take a look at criticalgamers.com. This is one of my personal favorite sites. I enjoy a good board game.
I enjoy a good board or card game, and Dave features a whole bunch of different cool things like Magic the Gathering, World of Warcraft. Cards are going to be coming out for that game. You know, there's also like Carcassonne, Settlers of Catan, all kinds of different board games.
So basically he does like board game and trading card game coverage, and you know that's the niche that you're looking at.
Yeah, I mean the thing about it is you know, Dave came to us and said, hey, you know, we want to do a site about the sort of emergence, the reemergence of social gaming, like actually sitting down with people at a table and playing games.
It's not just video games, everybody.
And I know that you know, a lot of the games that he reviews, like we have a gaming night and we actually play these games with Dave, and there's like five of us. And Jake Jameson from Liquor Snob as well.
Sure.
And, you know, we basically play these games, and it's a lot of fun.
Definitely is. I mean, I think that's one of the things that, you know, as a side effect of, you know, Dave spending the time and learning all these games, he has certainly introduced us to a wide variety of games that have really been highly enjoyable. There's this whole European gaming scene, which I never thought I would say that statement, but there is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really just kind of nice family games. You can get together, you can play for, you know, a couple hours and enjoy it. And they're, you know, they start off simple, but they're actually pretty complex, and that's what makes them really replayable.
Yeah. And I think, you know, he has some funny stuff on here where, you know, recently Monopoly has said that they're going to not money. They're going to use, like, they're going to have debit cards and a debit card machine. And I'm just like, I think the point that I thought really hit home was, you know, I played Monopoly my whole life. And when I was a kid, that taught me how to count money and, like, actually figure stuff out and make change for people and buy houses and trade stuff in. It's like, what's with the debit card?
I guess now they just they want to teach us how to, you know, overspend and get in debt. And sure, it's a debit card, but let's be honest, it's really a credit card.
Yeah.
That's what they're after.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a lot of just cool stuff that he's got going.
Well, let's take a look. What's going on right now? Oh, I see. We've got the World of Warcraft card game. That's kind of similar to this Magic card game.
Right.
What's going on there? I mean, I've heard of this World of Warcraft.
Right. I mean, well, World of Warcraft is a massively multiplayer online game for the PC. But what they're going to do?
It's a video game.
It's a video game.
Gotcha.
And what they're doing is they're actually, you know, taking a lot of the characters and, you know, creatures and playable races in that game, etc. This is all sounds really geeky, but you know, and they're going to turn it into a card game, much like Magic the Gathering.
Sure.
I believe. You know, so for example, there's this. Dave's going to post this week that the World of Warcraft TCG website is actually showing people the different cards that are going to be coming out, including this Troll Mage. And he's a fire mage for the Horde. And in World of Warcraft, there's two sides, the Horde and the Alliance.
Okay.
And the Horde is sort of like the more, more evil, trolly, like less humanoid kind of thing, right? And basically, there's pictures, cool stuff, and card games.
Nice.
Probably too complicated to get into.
Let's go down. Let's see another game that maybe another kind of simple board game. Let's see.
We got different stuff. Carcassonne expansion is shipping.
Oh, Carcassonne. Now, I've played that with Dave, and I have to say, that game is a lot of fun. Very simple, but very elegant. It's a nice game. I would definitely check that one out.
Yeah.
Articulate. Now, this looks interesting. This is, again, this is if you're checking along at home. It's criticalgamers.com, and this is a post on July 25th, 2006. So
this is sort of the emergence of party games, too. Kind of like, it slips me, but the
like,
one with the
like
buzzer.
Pictionary.
Exactly.
Taboo, that's a big
one. You know, like, whatever. Like, Articulate is this crazy thing. It's simple. It's fast. It challenges, like, everybody in these different – you have different teams. And it's basically a ramped-up version of Charades.
Gotcha.
You know? And you're going to play this out. There's questions that you ask. There's tokens. You know, it's an interactive, it's fun, and you can, like, you know, group up with your friends and have a good time at a party.
Nice. Well, I hope Dave brings it by sometime soon.
Yeah, so check out criticalgamers.com, and we'll keep featuring stuff from there each week. It's always good stuff.
Nice. Okay, and of course, going from drinking and playing with that usually involves a little bit of liquor or wine.
That's right. We actually have two sites in the blog pile, liquorsnob.com and cheapfunwines.com. And Jake Jameson and his bevy, is like bevy way I
sure,
say?
Bevy
his
is fine.
His bevy of liquor snob interns provide news
you mean drunks.
Yeah, I don't know. News and reviews on all things alcoholic, including beer, wine, cocktails, breathalyzers, you name it. And, you know, liquor and wine. I mean, really, like, when you think, like, you know, beer and wine or liquor and wine or whatever, that's why we have two sites. CheapFunWines.com is more focused on, like, you know, budget wines under 20, like, wine gadgets, cool wine glasses, of which, you know, this week the Liquor Snob interns have found, you know, some cool information on Malbecs, some summer wines, you know, like wines.
Wait, go back up for a sec. That looks interesting.
Sure.
Again, this is Cheap Fun Wines. No, up a little further. Oh, but that is nice, too. Oh, we're going to look at both of these. Oh, that's the espresso machine for single-serve espresso. That totally threw me off.
Yeah.
We go back down to the decanter. That was a nice-looking thing. So there's this beautiful decanter. It looks like it's August 4th, 2006. It's almost like a swan. It looks very nice, really elegant. I could see that on a table looking very nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. We have a thing called Swanky Wine Fridays, actually.
Oh, just like the celebrity.
Just like celebrity hair.
Facial hair Friday.
Yeah, so celebrity hair, facial hair. Swanky Wine Friday usually features some cool product. This one's actually, like, made out of, it's from Rydell. It's, like, made out of, like, crystal. And it's going to do to actually decant your wine, let it breathe a little bit. It's got a hefty price tag, but it's pretty cool.
Huh, interesting.
I mean, some other stuff that CheapFunWines.com is featuring this summer is summer wines, you know, like crisp, wines you can chill, some stuff you could take to the beach. Maybe it's a cool evening. You know, it's been hot, right? It's been hot this summer.
It's been damn hot.
Yeah, so it's been hot this summer, and he's got some different vintage white wines, some Chardonnays, some Capio.
Oh, wait, $5.99? Come on.
No, seriously. The wines that, you know, that we recommend on Cheap Fun Wines, they're not expensive, but they're good.
We're looking at a wine that says a 2004 Kenwood Vintage White Wine, California, for $5.99. Come on.
Yeah, and it actually got 81 points on the wine score. So if you think of 81 out of 100 points,
that's
pretty good for $5.99.
Wow, that isn't bad.
I
guess it is a cheap, fun wine.
Right.
Well, I don't know about the fun part, but maybe if you have enough, it's fun, right?
You know, and they're also featuring wine reviews. They got a Big Tattoo Red review, $9.99, Big Tattoo, good wine. I've had it myself. Lots of cool stuff at CheapFunWines.com.
Nice. Tell me, let's go to Liquor Snob for a sec. Let's look at that. What do we got going on there this week?
Liquor Snob is, you know, on the cutting edge of liquor reviews.
of liquor?
Yeah. They feature, you know, Jake and the interns feature a lot of stuff from basically drinking gear to, you know, cocktail gear for camping out.
Oh, look at that thing. All right, hang on. This is, again, LiquorSnob.com, August 4th, 2006 post. Cocktail gear for camping out. Basically, we're looking at what appears to be a portable blender that you can mix your mix your drinks in while you're out at the beach.
It's for camping, so what you can do is you basically...
Oh, it's a hand-crank blender.
It's a hand-crank blender. Now, the funny thing about it is I think you could make some smoothies, and if you've got ice from somewhere,
yeah.
You know, maybe in the cooler that weighed 1,000 pounds and you
that was, you know, mixing with the cheese.
Well, let's be honest. Camping these days often doesn't sort of mean, like, you actually... hiked anywhere.
Sure, you get the car.
You went somewhere more natural,
yeah.
And you basically made some drinks and some food and hung out. So
I could definitely see that. That'd be a nice little, you know, going out a little picnic or something. That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, so LiquorSnob.com has all the crazy stuff. The,
the octopus tap.
You know, I mean, so the thing is that reviewing liquor can be a little challenging, and you know, Jake just recently received with the interns an octopus tap, which is essentially a tap that goes on a beer keg that has eight arms off.
Oh,
of it.
I see. To prevent the whole, you know, you're at the line at the party, you're
right.
Trying to fill your beer, and it's like, gotta wait.
I'm gonna think that's gonna really screw up the pacing at a party and really make those kegs go down.
It's true, you know, part of the you know, the ambiance of any party, the geographical, the topological look of any party is, you know, around the keg where people kind of congregate to get a beer and chat a little.
Yeah. Definitely.
I wonder if that would mess up the rhythm.
I think we could see the lines gone and more people laying on the floor. and I don't know if that's good or bad.
Nice.
Anyways, liquorsnob.com. Check it out.
Cool. All right. Talked a little bit about liquor. We've talked about games. We've talked about a lot of things. What's next on the agenda in the blog pyre?
You know, we've got a couple of sites that are focused on, like, gadgets and electronics and
sure.
You know, different things. Two of which, one's a TV snob. The idea behind it being, like, there's this whole TV revolution going on, right?
I mean, HD, like, baby, HD.
Yeah, high-definition TV.
You got your plasma. You got your LCD.
You got your you know, not only that.
1080p.
Yeah, live recording of TV, you know, recording TV
sure,
PC.
PBRs.
Streaming TV over the web from your computer to your phone.
Whoa. To your phone?
Yeah, that can happen. That's with Slingbox, but we can talk about that at some point.
All right.
But also, you know, like, hooking up your TV to, you know, your stereo and getting, like, Dolby Digital. I don't know. You know what I'm saying.
It's confusing.
There's so much with TV. It's so confusing. William Hungerford from TVSnob.com actually covers a lot of different things, like, what is Dolby Digital? We just mentioned it.
Sure.
This week, he's got a post on, you know, what is Dolby Digital when you see that? Why do you want to buy it, you know? What does it mean? Are there different flavors of Dolby Digital? Like, he says, Dolby Digital, a common question when discussing it is, what's AC3? And, like, what does that mean for decoding? And what's 5.1 surround sound and Dolby Digital EX?
Nice.
What's Dolby Digital 5.1 or 6.1? So, you know, TVSnob.com really can point you to different articles and analysis on what, you know,
about TVs and
TV stuff. And the other thing is,
it's a nice resource.
Which TV stuff is the stuff to buy? You know, like LCD versus plasma.
Yep.
You know, what exactly is DVD upscaling, and what TV do I need to support it? What should I buy for an LCD TV?
That's certainly, you know, one of the fears. You know, I don't have an HD, and I know that, you know, I'm not there yet, but that's, you know, it's somewhere on the horizon, and there's just so many different things going on. It's intimidating. I mean, it's very intimidating to try to make the right decision. I mean, the last thing I want to do is end up buying a Betamax. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be
tragic. I agree. And, you know, I think the more you read, and then the more you read the different analysis on the stuff, you really get an idea of, like, what to do. And TVSnob.com really does that. The other thing that I really like is that William, every week, focuses on DVD on TV. TV releases.
I got you. Like a new TV series that come out on DVD.
You know, so like, you know, in August, we've seen like Star Trek fan collective of all the shows in Star Trek that had Klingons on them. Dallas, the complete fifth season.
Oh, that's a guilty pleasure.
Hazel, I don't even know what this show is. You've seen that before?
Let's go click it.
You know what? Let's just go to TV on DVD, the category on
TV
Snob, and look around. We've got Hazel on TV, La Femme Nikita, Pinky and the Brain.
Ooh, Pinky and the Brain, big fan.
You're a big fan of that.
I love it.
Chappelle Show, Lost Episodes, Uncensored, controversial that they came out. And you know what? One of my favorite shows came out in July on TV, Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Oh, was that with
guy from Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell, huh.
Let me tell you, awesome show. You can read more about it at TVSnob.com on their TV on DVD category.
But nice. And I see that The Pretender Season 4 came out, and little tidbit, for those of you out there who are a fan of ShavingStuff.com, its writer, Russell, looks really closely like the guy from The Pretender.
If you see them side to side, you'd think that Russ was The Pretender.
Nice.
That's true.
Maybe that's what he is. He is The Pretender.
Maybe he's pretending to shave.
And for the record, that is a different Russell than me. I'm not that Russell.
Yeah, you're
don't
Russell
make that mistake.
Minor.
I'm Russell Minor. He's Russell Neufeld.
All right.
Or Minor and Russell.
Right.
Right. What else we got? We got GPS Lodge.
Yeah. So this thing's a powerhouse of GPS news. GPS Lodge features like everything there is to know about GPS. You put these things in your car, your golf course, your golf cart. You can put them on the golf course.
You could. I mean, you could just equip them if they rove around.
Scott features all the latest stuff. The Garmin new V350 is actually, you know, the hot GPS to
is
get
this
right
like
now.
A big thing right now, this whole GPS thing? I mean, I don't know much about it myself.
Exactly. And the thing is, I didn't either until Scott started writing this site. And frankly, the things are expensive.
Sure.
You got to know that they're upgradable, and you got to know like which one to buy and what you're going to buy it for. Like one that works in your car and that's voice automated might not be one you want to like lug around.
Sure. You know, imagine you're walking around, let's say middle of downtown, wherever, and it's like turn left.
Right, and you know all of these different GPS companies are also, linking up with different map providers and data providers and like, you know, people who are providing the information to the GPS for you to get around. And if you don't know what a GPS is, it's a global positioning system, you know, that basically allows you to, you know, get in your car, have the thing know where your car is, a satellite,
sure.
And it basically tracks you around so you can, you know, get to your destination. You can say, I'm driving to downtown Boston and I want to go to the aquarium.
Okay,
can
and it'll
drive,
get you there.
It'll actually get you there.
As long as the tunnels aren't closed, right?
Yeah, as long as the big dig's doing okay.
Hey, so let's see what's going on this week. What's happening in the world of the GPS Lodge this week?
Lots of deals on GPSs right now. They're gearing up for the holiday season, August and September. And since a lot of people buy them to do sporting things, you know, outdoor events and whatever, there's a lot of blowouts from, you know, the Garmin Nuvi, the Street Pilot. Prices are dropping. There's a lot of rebates, like $100 off. Some of these things get halved, you know, like some of the GPSs cost like $900. You can pick them up for like $450. So there's a lot of deals that Scott's picking up this week. And then also, you know, he's always got cool news on
what's this?
Well, like different applications on people using GPS. The next census, you know, the census is where they go around in the U.S. and they figure out how many people actually live in the U.S.
Sure.
or whatever. They're using it to help people who walk door to door to navigate and find all these places.
Oh, interesting.
So that they can actually, like, count, you know, people hand out the surveys and make sure that their coverage is much better for really tracking how many, you know, U.S. citizens there are.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
GPSLodge.com, lots of cool stuff each week on GPSs.
Sweet. All right, and we've got one more section of the blog pyre to take a look at before we go on to some questions from people. It's reallynatural.com. What is the deal with Really Natural? What is it?
You know, reallynatural.com is focused on, you know, living a more natural life. And that might be eating healthy. That might be, you know, working out. It might be being eco-conscious, like driving a hybrid car or putting some solar panels on your on the roof of your house and trying to get a little off the grid. Each week really features different products, you know, and we don't take like a hardline stance on like being like, you know, we try to cover both ends of the spectrum of, hey, you can eat healthy and you can eat organic food, but you could also just, here's some really good food that you can eat and not necessarily organic,
gotcha,
but it helps you, you know, be more natural, like have a more natural life. So this week we've featured Saab is actually getting into these biofuel hybrids. If you don't know what the biofuel is, it's essentially a mixture of using regular fuel and a blend of bioethanol, which would be like corn or, you know, other produced products.
Switchgrass.
Of course. Yes, absolutely. You know, and some funny stuff this week.
What's that one?
Natural waterfall door. Yeah.
I can't even say it. Natural waterfall door. What is that?
That is weird to say. It's essentially this guy made a door with clear glass that has going between it, water.
That's
and so,
pretty neat.
You know, it makes your house more open.
Sure, sure.
But because of the water, it actually does sort of distort.
Oh, that's very clever. So
and you can actually visit, you know, this site, Elsewhere Water Door.
Those of you who want to check it out, it's at reallynatural.com, and the post is for
Natural Water Door.
August. What's the date? August 2nd, 2006.
Second, yeah.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and, you know, lots of, you know, stuff like this is a classic
one. Don't be fooled buying red meat.
Yeah, so
it's more like gray meat right there.
This, you know, this isn't about, you know, eating like, you know, free range cattle or, you know, like, you know, no hormone injected beef. It's just saying like, don't be fooled by going to the store and buying meat based on it being like redder than other meat in the case, because the redder meat probably has dye injected in there.
Oh,
and
really?
Let me explain how this works.
Sure, let's talk about this.
This is kind of interesting. What they do is they inject this this dye or this sort of gas and dye into the meat. So, you know, when meat gets older or it's aged,
sure,
it gets browner because it's got less gas, less of the gas and stuff in the blood of the meat is sort of still there. It's been broken down.
Okay, sure, sure.
So they inject this dye in there, and it can make what is like 2 week old meat look completely fresh.
Oh, weird.
So
how do you know what's actually the meat that you want to buy? I mean, if you can't trust the red, and you can't, and you don't probably don't
look
want
at
the brown.
Look at the date, and do you like the way the meat looks? And meat that is not necessarily
wait a minute. You're just saying like the way the meat looks, and that's, you know, if I looked at that nice red piece of meat, I'm probably going to be like, oh, that looks like a fresh piece of meat.
That's the trick. Fresh meat isn't necessarily red. You know, like meat that's like a day old can be brown, but it's still
really
fresh.
So the date is what we should really trust when picking out,
yep,
you know, the steak.
Absolutely. And like, you know, like eating meat that's older and injected with this dye probably also not so good.
I could see that being weird.
So yeah, so, you know, lots of tips and tricks. You know,
another
cool
I heard
thing
about this. This is a post from July 31st, the fruit sticker that's telling you when fruit is ripe.
Yep.
That is cool.
It's experimental. It's not necessarily, you know, going to be ready for stores right away, but it's would allow you to go into, like, pears. Pears are like nightmares. Like, is
they're
this
so
pear
tasty
soft enough? Is this pear,
yep,
hard? Is it not? And the sticker actually, you know, shows you that the pear is ready to go, and
huh,
it like changes color from the off gassing on as the fruit gets riper, you know, to basically say, oh yeah, I can eat this pear, it's ready to buy.
Very nice, very nice. I can see that being useful.
Yeah, so lots of tips and tricks like this at reallynatural.com.
Cool,
awesome. Well, that's been a look around the blog pyre, and let's take a minute, take a break, and we'll be right back with some questions. We'll be right back.
All right, now's the portion of the show where you know, we've just taken a look at all the different things going on in the pyre, and now we'd like to set aside a little time so that we can answer some questions that you guys might have about anything and everything that the pyre may cover. And we've got a few questions for you. So, first of all, this question is from Michael in San Francisco, and he's saying, "Dear Kitchen Contraptions, it's summer and I'm trying to cook the perfect ribs, but I'm having trouble keeping them from getting too overcooked. Do you all know anything to help me cook ribs better in the summer?" So, what do we got out there? Do we have an answer?
We searched around on Kitchen Contraptions, and we found this rib rack, which was featured on June 14th. This past year.
Sure.
Basically, it's a rack that allows you to sort of stack in ribs like if you were in a dishwasher. Like,
oh,
you know,
okay,
like,
I got you.
Like,
you gotta go vertical.
And you go vertical. It saves space on the grill. It makes cleanup easier. And it's made out of nonstick metal, so it holds the ribs without getting them all...
Oh, right, because you get all, like, burnt at the edges.
So I'm thinking, like, you put this thing on top, and you're not going to necessarily... You might want to sear the ribs and then put them up, or then they can slow cook instead of being directly on the heat.
How... Now, you know, I don't know whether you've got the answer to this, but how... You know, how? What temperature of the grill is the best for cooking ribs? I mean, to keep them from getting overcooked. Is there a methodology? I mean, I know there's a whole science to this that, you know, have kept barbecue people in business forever.
Right. I mean, like, grilling ribs, like, you got to basically sear and grill, and then you got to slow cook to get them, like, tender and juicy.
Do you sear first?
Sear first, yeah. Searing keeps the stuff in, you know, the juiciness in.
So this rack is basically for the portion of the cooking that's after the searing?
Right. And then actually, then, you know, since you put the ribs in this rack, you free up, like, half your grill space.
Oh, right. You can do, like, vegetables, or you can do whatever to
absolutely
cook it up.
Cool.
Interesting. Okay, next up we've got a question from Jeff in New York, and he says, "Dear Just the Chips, I host a weekly poker game, and I'm looking for something to add flair to our ritual cocktails." What the hell's a ritual cocktail?
I think a ritual of making cocktails.
They're
making ritual like cocktails.
They're having some kind of weird dance around the poker table.
Woo, let's make some cocktails.
Anyway, do you have any poker drinking stuff? What? All right, well...
All right,
clearly,
so
this
we,
is not just for the chips.
We pinged Jake, and he pointed us to a poker drinkware collection. Jake at Liquor Snob.
Got it.
A poker drinkware collection he featured earlier in the year. It has like a poker, like hearts and diamonds.
Well, cool.
On this cocktail shaker.
This is a post on May 10th, 2006, called the Poker Drinkware Collection.
Yep, and basically, you can get these at Amazon.com, and then he also has a thing on roulette shot glasses.
Oh,
so it's like
nice.
This, like, it's a roulette shot game. I think you roll the thing and bet and take shots.
Oh,
so
no.
Maybe you want to throw a little roulette with your poker game.
That's nice. And by the way, that post is October 11th, 2005. These are both at liquorsnob.com. This thing, this little roulette wheel looks like it would be a hell of a lot of fun.
And dangerous.
And dangerous.
Yeah, and we encourage our listeners to drink responsibly.
Always drink responsibly.
Don't drink and drive.
Never drink and drive.
That's
it's not
right.
Worth it.
All right, we got any other questions?
Yep, we do. We got one more here for TV Snob. So he's buying a quality HD TV, and I'm trying to figure out which to get. What's the difference between LCD and plasma in picture quality? And this is from Beth in Minnesota. Sweet. And then we had people in Minnesota reading.
TV Snob features
LCD plasma.
All kinds of stuff.
We know this is a painful question.
Actually, just a week ago, we posted up the thing called LCD versus plasma video. It's basically a movie from YouTube that somebody put on YouTube.
Sure.
Which shows the difference between LCD and plasma and has like the different, you know, picture quality, different sizes, why you would buy LCD versus plasma, you know, burn in on plasma versus not on LCD. It's got all the stuff.
All right, and this post is July 31st, 2006. It's called LCD versus plasma video, and it's on TVSnob.com. Let's watch this video a little bit.
Yeah, so not that much between image quality and then...
Oh, they've got to show snakes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Wow. So, yeah, a whole video at TVSnob.com, LCD versus plasma video. It's in the HDTV category on TV Snob, and you can find it there.
You got to imagine that this question is covered a lot at TV Snob. I mean, I can imagine this is a very common question people have.
And it does keep changing because essentially, like, the sizes of LCDs, the quality of the plasma, the whatever, they're, you know, to my understanding, they're getting very similar. But, you know, like, flexibility and whatever, I think LCD TV is the way to go versus the plasma.
Interesting. Okay, that's all the questions we're going to cover at this time. But if you want to send in your questions to the BlogPyre podcast, you just need to send an email to podcast@blogpyre.com. And if you are really cool, you can actually record your question as an MP3 or a WAV file, and you can attach it to the email. Please do keep them kind of short. We don't, you know, half an hour of a question wouldn't be, we'd cut it down anyway.
Not many megs.
No, yeah. Email can only handle so much, people. But yeah, please send us your question, and we'll send it out to the blog pyre, and we'll see if we've got an answer for you. All right, well, that's all the time we have for today's podcast at blogpyre.com. Hope you enjoyed it. We brought you a lot of different categories, a lot of different products. There's definitely a lot to see out there, and we're looking forward to bringing you more and more information as we go along here.
Yeah, well, so we hope you enjoy your August. We'll probably be back in about 2 weeks or probably more towards the 1st of September, right? We're going to do this every, like, 2 weeks. Is
yep,
that right?
Yep, definitely.
And so we'll be bringing you the latest news and views and things that are around the pyre, and hopefully you stay cool and stay safe.
Enjoy it.
You can sign up at singleservecoffee.com and enter to and Flavia was the first to introduce a brew by pack Flavia coffee maker that you
testing 1 2 I think because I actually turn on the microphone.
Oh, that might work.
It's probably going to work.